May that be true of all of our lives. We'll make a decision in our lives and keep making that decision, because it's a continual commitment that we have to make, isn't it?
Amen.
It's not just a one-time decision. Salvation is a one-time decision. Just like that day you were born. There's a time and place where you were born. There's a time and place that you were born again. You don't keep on getting born again. You don't keep on getting saved. You don't lose your salvation, gain your salvation, lose your salvation, gain your salvation. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That was a one-time event in the history of time. And I hope there's everyone in this room that tonight, there's been a time and place where you have been born again. But our commitment to God, like any relationship, waxes and wanes, doesn't it? There may be times in your Christian life where you struggled. And who hasn't struggled? If you haven't struggled in your Christian life, say something to me tonight. Say amen. Or oh me, or something. We've all struggled, haven't we? Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To admit that you struggle is the first step to victory. Because we all struggle. And we're going to look tonight at a man by the name of Peter, who we've been looking at for the last several weeks, who struggled in his discipline, his discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was learning to grow in the grace and knowledge of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he would write by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was learning and he was getting an education. All of us in this room tonight have a level of education. I don't know what your level of education is, but we all have a level of education. But the greatest education you can get tonight is from the school of hard knocks.
Amen.
There's something about going to that school that, man, it is costly, it is painful, it is difficult, and you do not want to get a doctorate degree in that school. You want to stay in that school at the elementary level for as long as you can. Because a master's degree and doctorate degree is definitely painful. But looking at the life of this man tonight, we're looking at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 tonight. As we mentioned last week, we were talking about his life and how he had denied the Lord Jesus. And he was sleeping while Jesus was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. But look at Luke chapter 22, verse 31 this evening. And these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And let me tell you, folks, that's the same of you tonight. The devil wants to have you.
Amen.
The devil wants to sift you as wheat. The devil wants to destroy your life. Just like he wants to destroy Simon or Peter, he wants to destroy you. He says, and I love these words, verse 32, Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, this is Peter's words back to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And he said, this is Jesus, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto him, When I sent you away without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. And he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must be yet accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors for the things concerning having in. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this allowing us to be here, Lord. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be in your house and to hear the prayers of the saints, Lord, and the songs of the saints and the fellowship with one another. Help us, Lord, to always be appreciative of what you've given us and be thankful for it. I pray, Lord, tonight that you, if there be one in this room who doesn't know you, that, Father, you would draw that one to yourself and help us, Lord, as believers in Christ, to recognize the folly of self-reliance, the folly of self-reliance. Help us not trust in ourselves, but trust wholly in you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to learn another lesson in the life of Peter. a lesson that he had to learn the hard way. What was that lesson? Well, Peter, as we read here, was willingly boastful. You ever boast about something you said you could do and you wind up you couldn't do it? You ever done that? So certainly I'll be able to get that accomplished, or certainly I'll make that happen, or certainly. And you wind up before the day is over, you find yourself flat on your face. You ever happened to you? Well, if you've lived very long, it's probably happened to you. But in this situation, and if you look at the parallel passages of Matthew chapter 26, 33, and Mark chapter 14, 29, and John chapter 13, 36, you will see that Jesus foretold the very fact that Peter and the disciples would be offended and that they would ultimately forsake Jesus. It actually was a prophecy from the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, the prophet prophesied, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones." So Peter says that he's going to stand alone with Jesus. In Mark chapter 14, 29, we hear the words, "Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." See, Peter had a problem of comparing himself with other people. He looked at the other disciples, and he saw them, and of course he knew them. Hadn't spent nearly three years with them. He knew their loyalty. And he looked among the crowd and he said, "Lord Jesus, I know these other people. And though everybody is offended, I will not be offended." You know, it's a danger comparing yourself with other people. There's a danger comparing yourself tonight, looking around and saying, "You know, I'm more spiritual than other people." There's a danger saying, "I give more money than other people." There's a danger of saying I go witnessing more than other people. There's a danger of saying I'm more modest than other ladies. There's a danger of saying I love the Bible more than other people. There's a danger in boasting. There's a danger. There's a danger in that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. When we start judging ourselves among other people, the Bible says, that's not wise. It's foolish. That's what the Pharisees did. Luke chapter 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican." Oh, That's just pride. And pride can destroy our lives. Peter may have had good intentions. He made a brave resolve, which he would not keep. Boasting is not good. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." If you're going to say what you're going to do tomorrow, it should be in this context. James chapter 4, verse 13, "Go you now, ye that say today or tomorrow you will go into a city, such a city, continue there and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicings are evil." We shouldn't say, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." No, we should say, "If it's the Lord's will." Amen. How many times have you said you're going to go do something and you didn't do it? You didn't do what you thought you was going to do because something came up to keep you from doing what you thought you was going to do. That happens all the time. So, and maybe God has a better plan for our tomorrow than what we have planned. Maybe God's desire for us tomorrow is to be sick all day and lie in bed. Is that possible? Could it be possible that God's will for us to be sick? Maybe God's will for us tomorrow is to meet somebody and share the gospel with when we ran into them accidentally. We don't know exactly all that God intends for us tomorrow, but we know that if we ask Him, He will hear our prayers and He will listen to us. But our boasting should not be in what we're going to do, but what God may do in and through our lives. So we see this fallacy that Peter had. He said he was going to stand alone with Jesus. He also said, not only am I going to stand alone, he said, "I'm going to die for you. I will die for Christ." Luke chapter 22, 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both unto prison, not just to prison, but unto death. In Mark chapter 14, 31, he spake more than vehemently, that if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. The Bible says, likewise also said they all. Not only Peter said it, but all the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, we're going to go, we're going to follow you even to death. Yes, Peter had good intentions and bold words. Oftentimes we may have good intentions and bold words. And Peter ultimately someday would die for Jesus. You've heard of that song, stand up for Jesus. Here's what some of the dying words of a man by the name of Dudley Atkins Tyne. He was a preacher in Philadelphia. He got together nearly 5,000 men at a gathering, and he preached, and 1,000 of those men gave their life to Jesus Christ. And he said during that gathering, I'm so thankful to be able to share the gospel. I'd rather my arm be taken away from me than me not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just a few days later, he was out in the field, and he got his sleeve hooked up to a machine, and it took off his arm. And he died there in the field. Before he died, he said to his father, he said, Father, tell the ministers, stand up for Jesus. Father, tell my brethren of the ministry to stand up for Jesus. You know what we need? We need a generation of folks who'll stand up for Jesus. The whole world is standing up for their rights and what they believe. Are we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are we going to be quiet? Are we going to be silent? Are we going to be not vocal about what God has done in our life? Believers in Christ, we too should stand up and speak the truth while we have the opportunity. The night cometh when no man can work. Oh, that God would work in our hearts and lives. Yes, we see Peter's willing boastfulness, but secondly, we see Peter's wavering boldness. Peter's bold words would be tested. What would he do when he was tested? The Bible says in John 18, 2, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times restored it hitherto to the disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officer of the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. What do we have here? Jesus was going to be betrayed by a sinful man, by Judas and the mob. And how does Peter respond to that? Instead of realizing this was the will of God, he responds by plan B and taking up his sword and fighting for Jesus. See, Jesus didn't need to be defended with the sword. Jesus needed to be obeyed by Peter. Sometimes in life we go about doing God's will our way. You ever done it your way? Instead of going about doing God's way his way, we go about doing it our way. Peter didn't need to fight with a sword. For those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. No, Peter need to be obedient and trust in God and his plan for his life. We see his departure. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, and they all forsook him and fled. Every one of them left the Lord Jesus. The first step in being a disciple is following it. And they all fled from him. Matthew chapter 16, 24, they said to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Peter would soon learn the lesson and teach it to others. In 1 Peter 2, 21, for even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Oh, he failed in this part of the test, but he would learn the test. And pass the test later on in life, and he would share it with others. Then we see his departure and his decision in Matthew 26, 57. They had laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him from afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the Lord. Friends, when you and I follow the Jesus Christ from afar off, it's a bad thing. I'm awful nervous when I don't see folks come to church for quite a while. It bothers me when I see folks, you know, not living for God, not serving for God. Because as Christians, we ought to be living for Jesus. Amen. We ought to be faithful to him. It bothers me, concerns me, when we get afar off Because the farther you get off away from Jesus, the farther you want to get away from Jesus. See, as you and I fellowship with Christ and we walk in the light, God will give us more light. But as you and I disobey the Word of God and disobey the clear teachings of Scripture, then we walk in darkness. And the more we disobey Him, the further we get from Him. That's why the fundamental teachings of the Scriptures are so important that you and I adhere to. Reading your Bible, praying, being faithful to church, witnessing. You see, those are the basics. We fail at the basics. What do teams do who play in baseball? And I watched a little bit of baseball last night. I was glad to watch anything last night. Just a little bit of sports. I watched opening season of baseball. Just a little bit. Even though they had no fans last night. What do teams fail? They fail in passing the ball, catching the ball, dribbling the ball, putting the ball in the basket. Working on teamwork. The basics. Where do we fail? The basics. Christianity 101. Is by the grace of God, living for Him, drawing closer to Him, walking by the grace of God in His light. We see His decision. The Bible says in Matthew 26:57, they laid hold on Jesus and led Him away to Caiaphas the priest, as I mentioned. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. When you and I walk away from Christ, it's a testimony against us. It's a testimony against us. Who are the people that are following you in your life? You see, if you walk with wise men, shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, but standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. As believers, you should want to fellowship with other believers. As a Christian, you should want to be around God's people. As a Christian, you should enjoy Christian music and Bible reading and fellowship. Those are things that you should enjoy and be thankful for. Those are wonderful things. You should detest evil and wickedness that would destroy our souls. What do you enjoy in life? What do you enjoy? Don't listen to the unsaved or carnal Christian when it comes to spiritual matters. Oh, I hear people say all the time that they listen to their own family, only unsaved family, about spiritual matters in life. Dear friend, don't listen to the unsaved. Amen. Don't listen to the unsaved. Don't listen when it comes to spiritual matters, man. Don't get your advice from the heathen. Get your advice from the Word of God. Go to the book. This is where we need to go when we have questions about what direction. A wise person will seek wisdom from other godly people. Don't make decisions about what other people are doing in life. We see that in the life of Lot. Remember, the Bible says about Lot in Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom, chapter 13, verse 13, were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot took his wife and his two daughters, and he made a decision to live in a wicked place. And when you take your family to a wicked place, guess what's going to happen? More likely than not, they're going to wind up wicked. And what happened to those two ladies? What happened to his sons-in-laws? He lost them all. He lost them all. Dear friend, the decisions we make in life can determine the direction we're going to go in life. We see the fact that Peter departed the Lord. He made a decision to just follow afar off. But ultimately we see his denial. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Peter sat without the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, and he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Here's bold Peter, fisherman Peter, strong Peter. And little girl comes up and says, I know you're with Jesus. The same man that just said a little while earlier, Lord, I'll die with thee. Now a little girl comes up and says, I know you're with Jesus. No, I'm not with him. Not me. He died before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. He was gone out into the porch. Another maid saw him and said to them that were there, this fellow also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him that stood by, and Peter, and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee or betrayeth thee. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. The one who boasted, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll die with you. Not a day later. Not a day later was denying the Lord Jesus. Isn't that just like us? How many times have you made a decision at camp? How many times have you come to the altar and made a decision? You've heard the song played at All Is Your Altar. Have thine own way. You made a decision to read your Bible. Made a decision to pray. Made a decision to witness to somebody. You go out there, you sit down at Dave's barbecue, and somebody asks you how your day's been. You're dressed up a little bit normal, different than your normal t-shirt and jeans. They kind of know you go to church, and in your heart, you struggle with telling them where you just been. And you've just been at the altar saying, I'm going to live for Jesus. And you struggle to tell the waitress at Dave's you've been to church, and here's a tract telling you about Jesus.
Amen.
It's our flesh. We war. We battle with our flesh. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's us. That's us. People recognize Peter, but Peter would not associate himself with Jesus. Peter's self-reliance and his abilities was not enough to keep him close with Jesus. We see Peter's willing boastfulness, Peter's wavering boldness, and thirdly tonight, Peter's weeping bitterness. See, lots of examples of failures in the Bible. Just start from the very beginning. A man by the name of Adam. Now, can you imagine walking in the cool of the evening with Adam and with God? Can you imagine that? And then that wife of his had to have a bite of that fruit because the devil tempted her. And Adam, knowing fully what he was doing, made a decision to disobey God. But you go out through the scriptures, you just read. And not only did Adam sin, Abraham sinned. Remember, he called his wife his sister. Think about Samson. And his sin with Delilah, and Moses, who was supposed to speak to the rock. He smote the rock. Think about Saul, who was called to ultimately destroy all the Amalekites. He kept some of the Amalekites, the king and the sheep. We see his remembrance. Luke chapter 22, verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Can you imagine that look? Well, all of you who've done wrong in life probably have seen that look from your mom. Ever seen that look from your mom? Ever seen that look from your dad? They told you not to do it. But you went ahead and did it anyway. She said to you, don't put your hand in the cookie jar. Supper's in 45 minutes, but as soon as she turned her back to go to the bedroom, your hand was in the cookie jar. Because you just had to have one of those fresh, moist, chocolate chip cookies. You had to have it. And you walked out of the room, there was your mom. There was your mom with that chocolate all over your mouth. She looked at you with that look. That look that only a mother can give, both love and shame at the same time. And hopefully, she was wise enough to do something about that and not give you any more cookies. Can you imagine the look of our lovely Lord Jesus as he looked at Peter? I believe it was a look of love, but it broke the heart of Jesus. And broke the heart of Peter. Psalm 119, verse 30, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. God's words are true even if we do not want to accept them. Peter would not accept the truth from Jesus. Lord, I won't deny you. Peter, you're going to deny me. Do you think after 3 years being with Jesus that Peter would finally learn to listen to Jesus? Remember? Remember that time when he was in the boat? He'd been tired. He'd been worn out. He'd been fishing all night. He came in and Jesus said to him, I want you to take your boat. Let's go back out in the water. Cast your net out to the right side. Peter didn't believe him. He thought he was wrong, but he obeyed. At his word, he listened to him, even though he didn't believe him. He cast his net to the right side of the boat, and it brought out a great drop of fishes. You would think, after seeing Peter's mother-in-law healed from the sickness, he would listen, he would obey. You think, after seeing lepers healed, after the adulterous woman was forgiven, after a multitude of miracles were done in his very presence, that little girl who was sick nigh unto death, and Peter and James and John got to go. Well, the other disciples didn't go. They was in that room and he said, Talitha Makumi, awake, arise. And she arose. He got to see all the miracles, things that you and I probably will never see. And still he disobeyed God. Still he didn't listen. That is the hardness of our wicked flesh, isn't it? He saw all that and still denied the Lord. You see, God's word is going to be accomplished whether we believe it's going to be accomplished or not. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but the water of the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I too sent. Don't believe God. Don't trust in his word. Doubt what he says. Live your own life and just see what happens. This word is forever settled in heaven. It cannot change. It will not. It cannot. It shall not change. Believe what you will. Think what you think. Listen to all the professors with all their worldly education, trying to figure out stuff, but when everything is said and done and the world is destroyed by fervent heat, this book will still stand. Amen. Oh, that we would just trust him. Oh, that we would learn from the mistakes of other people and say, God, whatever you say is true. I'll simply follow you. I'll simply trust you. Receive his remembrance. Receive his remorse. What happened? The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. Peter was totally broken. He was bold with his words. He trusted himself and not God. He was broken. I think about David and his sin with Bathsheba murdering Uriah the Hittite. And I think about his brokenness. And you can read about his brokenness in Psalm chapter 51. He wrote in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. You ever got to the place where you sinned before God and you just couldn't get over that sin? I mean, it bothered you during the night. It bothered you during the day. Everything you thought, everything you did, everything was about that sin. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. And that's the truth. Because when we sin ultimately first and foremost against God. And done this evil in thy sight, thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part thou makest me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop that I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that thy bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. What does sin do? Sin robs us of joy. Sin robs you from joy. Maybe tonight you don't have joy in your life. You're living your Christian life out of duty. I've been there many a time. I'm just doing it because I have to do it. but there's no joy. There's no peace. And that's because you have sin in your life. And until you acknowledge your sin and you confess it and forsake it, you will not have joy and you will not have peace. And what happens to the believer who lives in that state, constant state? Well, because God loves us, He disciplines us. Aren't you glad God loves us? You can turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter, if you would tonight, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look what it says about us and our relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7. If you endure chastening, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If ye be without chastisement, wherefore all partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Wherefore, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we much rather in subjection unto our Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11, for now no chastening of the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. What's this writer of Hebrews in Hebrews saying? He said, if you're a child of God, you're going to go through chastisement. The old fashioned say, you're going to get whipped. Parents who love their kids spank their children. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The world says, no, that's just physical abuse, that's psychological abuse, and that's just horror, it's terrible. Again, don't get your advice from there, get your advice from here.
Amen.
Get your advice from the Word of God. What's the Bible say? Don't go talk and listen to Dr. Spock or Dr. Phil or Oprah or any of those folks. Get to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What's the Bible say? No, in fairness, if you spare the rod, actually you hate your children.
Amen.
That's opposite of what the world teaches. But God, in His infinite love, loves us when we're walking away from Him, that He chastises us. And you know what? God has lots of ways to chastise us, doesn't He? Oh, He'll take away your joy. He'll take away your peace. He'll have things happen in your life you'll never think would happen. Why? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. God loves us so much that from time to time, when we walk away from Him, He'll take us to the woodshed. And that's the best thing for us. That's the best thing for us. And that's exactly what He was doing to Peter. Peter was proud. Peter was boastful. And Peter was going to have to learn a lesson, because Peter ultimately would be greatly used, as you look at the book of Acts. He was going to be greatly used as a warrior for Christ. But Peter had to learn a very important lesson. Trust me more than what you think. Trust me more than how you feel. Trust me more than what they comparing yourself with other people. All those three things we do often as Christians. We trust ourselves. We trust our feelings. We trust what we think. We trust what other people say instead of trusting God. And when we do that, we fall flat on our face. Fall flat on our face. And being flat on our face is exactly where God wants us to be. God's not cruel. God's good to us. God's good to us. He gives us that second and third and fourth and fifth chance. He gives us opportunities to come back to Him. Yes, Peter went out. He went out and wept bitterly. What did that other disciple do named Judas? While Peter was out weeping bitterly, he went and tried to give that 30 pieces of silver back to the high priest, the chief priest, and they would not receive it because it was the price of blood. Yes, Peter was broken. But Judas, because he denied Jesus Christ, he would be destroyed. He would be bitter. Judas, instead of repenting, went out and hung himself. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. It is a blessed thing when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and convicts you of sin. That is the acknowledgement that God, the Holy Spirit, is in you, and He's prompting you to get right with Him. Dear friend, if he's doing that in your life, the best thing to do is not say, well, maybe tomorrow. Or to say, well, you know, I'm better than that other person. Or to say, well, I'll do it some other time. No, the best thing to do when God prompts you about an area where you're not living for him is to say, Lord, you're right. Lord, you're right. And confess. That means you say the same thing that God says about it. Don't say if you're a liar, oh, I just exaggerate a little bit. Don't say I just tell a little tale. Hey, if you got some area, don't try to excuse it. Don't try to deny it. Just admit it to God. Confess your sin. And he's faithful and just, the Bible says, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter was broken. Satan often tempts us with self-reliance, to have a false sense of security. But thank God, Peter would be used again. What happened to Peter? He got proud. He got bold. Because of that, he had to be broken. But thank God, God would use Peter again. There's a lot of people tonight that shouldn't be in church. A lot of people this morning that should have been in church. But somehow, some way, they got bitter at God. They got proud. They got bitter. People who used to sit in these seats. People who used to sing in that choir. People who used to shake their hands and fellowship with. They once were your brothers and sisters right here in this church. You fellowship with them. You shook their hands. You hugged their necks. You said, we'll go together. We'll die together. You passed out tracts together with them. Went to camp with them. Somehow, some way, the devil tempted them. And they chose their pride, and they got bitter. They got bitter at God. And tonight, and this morning, and for a long time, they not be in church. And brothers and sisters in Christ, let me tell you tonight, you and I are one decision from being in the same boat. You say, Pastor, you could be, yeah. One bad decision, I would be in the same boat. Had a good friend in my former church that I was involved in. Loved the Lord, sang in choir with him, bus captain, living for God. We got bitter. Got a bitter because God took away something that he loved in his life. And for 3 years, he didn't darken the door of a church. I called him, knocked on his door, prayed for him. Prayed with his parents, hoped he would come back. For three years, he didn't darken the door of a church. Got involved in his old habits, went to his old haunts, lived like an unsaved person almost. But thankfully, by the grace of God, he came back.
Amen.
He came back. Brothers and sisters of Christ, let me encourage you tonight. Have short accounts with God. Have short accounts with other people. Don't let the sin of bitterness, don't let the sin of anger, don't let sin get between you and God. If you're involved in something, if you're doing something, saying nobody will know, nobody sees, nobody cares, get right with God. He knows and he cares and he sees. Get right with God tonight. If you're not right with your men, if you're not right with your wives tonight, get right with your wives tonight. Ladies, if you're not right with your husbands tonight, get right with your husbands tonight. Kids, if you're not right with your family tonight, get right with your family tonight. Siblings, if you're not right with your other siblings, get right with them tonight. Everybody get right with everybody. Everybody get right with everybody. If we would spend more time getting right with one another instead of talking about one another, this church would be different. This church would be different. Oh, that we would have just a revival. In our hearts, revival in our lives. But it all starts with me, and it all starts with you. Are you right with God tonight? And are you right with other people tonight? If not, before you leave, before you put your head on the pillow, I beg you, I plead with you. Don't let anything stand between you and Jesus. Don't let anything stand between you and another person. Make that decision to get right with God tonight. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the example of Peter, human. human. What great man of God he will become. He had to be greatly humbled. Oh God, I pray for sin in our life. You'd forgive us of our sin. Help us, Lord, to confess it and forsake it. That we may have joy. That we may have peace in our life. Oh God, we do not want the chastisement on us. We do not want chastisement on our church because of disobedience. Oh God, I pray, God, that you would just show mercy and kindness. God, wash us, cleanse us, purge us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us. Let's stand to our feet, head bowed, and eyes closed. God, speak into your heart tonight, I pray.